we're going to do is we started doing this a couple years ago, actually, for Mother's Day and for Father's Day. And then I realized that it's just kind of a lot of fun to hear from our mothers and fathers in the house. And so I invited some fathers to come. And so if I invited you, will you come on up and join me on the stage? And we're going to just kind of talk about being a dad. These guys are going to share some wisdom with you, maybe some stories and insights. Look at that. I can even count chairs. All right. So, unlike the women for Mother's Day, I didn't prep these guys at all. So, this is, they don't need any prep. They're just instantly brilliant and ready. And so, I've got some questions on my phone for you guys. Okay, so first, what's your greatest or your proudest dad moment? Whoever wants to go first.
I think for me, it's when Emma she's starting to talk more and more. And so, I mean, it was really fun this week. So I came home from work, like super sweaty and sawdust all over me from work and, you know, feeling exhausted. And she just woke up from her nap and Andrea's carrying her out of the bedroom and she goes, "Dada." And she reaches out and wants me to hold her. And she sat in my lap, I don't know, for like 10 minutes. But she doesn't do that all that often. She's pretty high energy right now. But just I think the recognition of she knows who you are and appreciates your love, it's pretty amazing.
I think for me, it's actually the older I get, the more I appreciate the dads and the grandpas and the great-grandfathers that have been out ahead of me. You know, you don't really realize it when you're a little kid. But I've thought a lot in the last year about both me and my wife's side of the family. And I think about our dads. I think about our grandfathers and great-grandfathers and things like that. And I realized that there wasn't anything, like, super glamorous. It wasn't like anyone won the lottery. It wasn't like anyone, you know, inherited billions of dollars. But everyone that were fathers in our lives just woke up every morning and did what they needed to do to provide for a family. And it's so cool to watch, like, the trickle effect of how that has contributed from generation to generation. And I think that's what I'm the proudest of in our family heritage.
I used to say that when our two girls became responsible adults, that it was kind of the proudest thing that I had. And then recently I've been thinking about what that definition of responsible adult looks like. And I've kind of been caught in this idea of the nature and character of God. And I think the proudest thing about being a dad is seeing that my children reflect, they know and reflect the nature and character of God. And that, if you're a parent and you know that the nature of God is He's kind and your children are kind, and you know that God is loving and your children are loving, and you know all those characteristics of God, and if your children grow up to reflect those, I think that makes you pretty proud.
Drop the mic, Tom. That was a good word.
kind of along the same lines, but different in that. For me, the proudest moments, they're moments of just seeing my kids in love with Jesus more than anything. When I see my kids dance and sing to the Lord with their whole hearts, I'm so proud. My favorite picture that I have is when I was leading band practice one morning and Ava's sitting on the stage with her legs crossed and her hands out, and she's just worshiping, eyes closed, just worshiping, not because Daddy asked her to sit still for a moment or whatever. She just wanted to be in the presence of the Lord and to worship Him. Another proud again this past week that my daughter went to kids camp with Ferris, and she was one of the ones that was so overcome with the presence of God that she couldn't even walk one night, and she had to be helped back to her room. She's just so in love with Jesus. Those things just keep coming, but I couldn't be prouder for my kids. Just how they love well, and they love us well. They receive love well. They love God well.
For me, just recently, my son went from chaos to order, and it was a matter of, and it just keeps progressing for him. But he had to move in. I'll just get to it. He had to move in with me for it was about 5-6 weeks, and you know, he didn't have a place, and his family had to go away, and he came into my home, and I laid down some rules, and he followed them, and he excelled in them. And in the morning when I would, I sleep late because I work until early morning, but I would be awoken to him watching my worship music and reading my Bible. And I was like, oh, and it was just like, now I get to have proud moments every day when I show up to work and he's leaving work. The other day I asked him how much his check was, and it was more than I brought home, and just that right there was like, I couldn't have been prouder. I'm like, wow. You know, so seeing him excel in his life no matter what's going on around him, and just being able to express how proud I am of him to him means a lot to me. I could count on my hand, on one hand, how many times my dad said he was proud of me, and I know how important that is, because being a child of this house, I can't count. I mean, there's thousands of times that you guys believed in me and told me how proud of you are to me. So I think proud is a big, big word for a father.
Yeah, that's good. For me, thinking about this question, it's connected to, you know, of course, as believers and people that are following Jesus, we want to see our kids follow Jesus, and so that's awesome. And any decisions that are in pursuit of a relationship with God are proud moments. But I think also including in that, and as part of that too, watching my kids, or anytime they discover something about themselves that's just them, is really a proud moment. So I teach about identity and talk about identity. So when my kids actually find their identity, pieces of it, you know, you find your identity like in little chunks and pieces and things like that. And so when that happens, when I get to witness that, I just love it. It's just a really proud moment. So anyway. All right. Next question. You want to get closer and listen from up here? You're welcome to. We're gonna leave the mic to the guys I invited, okay? All right, cool. Okay. So something that you think all dads need to know, pass on a bit of your wisdom, something you've learned. I know Daniel's only been at it almost 2.5 years, but there's as much wisdom in about a week that we need to pass on. So anything that you would pass on, think that all dads should know?
I think the first thing that comes to mind is that your kids really don't care how much money you make. That's taken me a while to figure out. They could really give a rip. It might make you feel better, but it doesn't, you know, affect your kid whatsoever. So I think just knowing that, you know, Cameron and I were talking about this the other day, that time is what your kids care about. I mean, I could make $1 million, travel the world and never be home, and how much am I doing, you know, for my kids? Or I could make nothing and have my time to offer them. And I feel like there's a fine balance there. I've learned a lot about the meaning of ebb and flow in life, and you know, we refer to going out and killing it, and there's times when it's important to go out and kill it, but there's also times when you need to know that not making a dime and giving your kids time is actually the best thing you can do for them.
I would say along the same lines, and by no means am I amazing at this, but because time is so important, be intentional with your kids. And turn your phones off when you get home, and turn off the TV, because your kids grow up so fast. And so give them intentional time so that they are seen and they're known, and that they know that they're actually way more important than your work. They're way more important than what's on the TV screen or what's in the news or whatever the case may be. Whatever problems you're facing, your kids are actually way more important. And those problems, you know, they'll take care of themselves, really. But your kids, you only have so much time, and they grow up, and man, I can't imagine when they're actually gone. But you only have so much time. You only have those moments with them. So just cherish them and be intentional.
I would say wisdom for Buck is to listen, to be able to listen. I learned that from Buck, and Buck imparted that to me, to be able to listen. And just to really listen, and it creates trust with them. I had a different type of relationship with my son, of course, because of my past life. But now, for the last 5 years, I've been able to hear him. You know, when before I was too busy to even stop and listen, or confused to stop and listen. But listening is so powerful, and it builds trust. And now he'll come to me and, hey, can we sit and talk? I want to talk to you. So learn to listen. That's
I think I would say listen to your wife as well. Because, well, it's my daughter Emma is a lot like my wife Andrea. And so sometimes I will be doing, like, I'll come home from work and I'm totally exhausted, and I'm like, want to do my best to engage, and sometimes I just do things that I like doing, which I think we all have a tendency to do, but then like, oh, this really isn't working. She doesn't feel connected. And so, yeah, just, you know, use your wife because she is more aware of things, because she gets to be home with him all the time, and so she knows things that sometimes I know but forget. And she, you know, your wife can really bring a lot of wisdom. And because I think for our second kid, I think he'll probably be more like me. But you just don't know. But use your wife. She has lots of wisdom.
I guess as a father, the wisdom I'd like to pass on is that we're all failures. You know, we make mistakes, as Cameron said earlier, and the thing that you do is you spend time, work with your kids, but recognize that you see your failures, but your kids usually don't, and they're just glad that you're there. So we can beat ourselves up for the mistakes we make or the places that we failed, but if we're doing stuff with our kids, that's what they see.
Yeah, and just to echo kind of what a couple of the other guys were saying, time. you only get every moment one time. And you could have similar moments, similar opportunities, but at that moment, and I mean, I can count hundreds of moments, even in the effort of trying to catch them all, especially when you have two kids that are in two different places. You can't be in two different places at once. Cell phones help, but moments that I was so glad that I got to see, you know, I mean, I could think of a whole bunch of them, but Isaac hit a stand-up triple this year in baseball, which was like, oh, I'm so glad I got to see that. And Ella a couple years ago when she won the mascot thing, it's like, oh, I'm so glad. And so, like, there's those moments that you're like, oh, I'm so glad I was there. And a lot of time those moments take a lot of work to get to because there's tons of things going on. There's always stuff going on. And I would just say, when in doubt, say yes to your kids and no to everything else. Because it's like the one thing you probably won't regret, you know? And, yeah. My phone keeps shutting me out. So, and maybe this is kind of along the same lines of really maybe what we just shared, but one thing that you would, personally, that you would do different, that you would change a little bit. Maybe it's current, maybe it's past. Not necessarily like you don't have to share a big regret or anything like that, but just something that you do a little bit different. I know we just talked about time, so I know that's one thing that we would probably all say, yeah, more time. But any insight into that any of you guys want to share?
I think for me, that's should have figured out way earlier on to recognize that when my wife has told me a direction or a place or a thing that we should do, and I don't do that, that's probably bad in the long run. So listen to your wife when they when they have suggestions for you.
People pretty much have said this already, but I would think about the first year that Emma was with us, and we were just, I was working a whole bunch, and I mean, I was working about the same amount that I am now, but we were living in a big city, so I was commuting 2 hours on top of what I was working. And I think about the time, and it was just something that ended up happening, and it wasn't like this decision that I was like, I don't want to spend time with Emma, but I think about it, and I am bummed about it, that there's some things that, just the connection that I could have had with Emma, I feel like I have now, but it took some time, and she was over one before I fully felt like I had a connection that I was really wanted to have with her. So I think just being able to evaluate your scenario before it becomes a year, and, you know, be able to make adjustments and have the priorities where you really want them to be. And sometimes you just have to work, and that's the way it is. And Emma and I have a great relationship now, but it just remember, like, what you're doing, I guess. Do I want to be doing this, you know?
I think something that comes to mind for me is not overanalyzing the time that you spend with your kids. I once heard Zig Ziglar say that there's actually no such thing as quality time. That all time is the same. And so parents tend to cop out and be like, well, I haven't done anything with my kids, so I'm going to have some quality time with them. And that's kind of not true. And so what I tend to do is like plan these big things, because I'll work a lot during, you know, certain periods of time, and then I'll be like, okay, we're going to take, you know, a week and go do the Oregon coast or this trip. But sometimes you miss those tiny, tiny little moments that you didn't really value or you didn't pay attention to during the week, like after work, coming home and, you know, going down and hanging out with the girls in their, you know, Lego room, or these other little opportunities that you're constantly getting, but you didn't value them the same because it didn't feel the same for you, or you didn't plan it, or it wasn't a big event for you. And so I think for me, it would be, and I still get the opportunity, you know, because my kids are still young, but that's one thing that I'm learning and I'm changing in my day to day, is that it's not always about the next big trip or the next winter when I get to take time off. It's about taking 20 minutes and doing this, and 5 minutes and doing that, and running to Reading and taking one of the kids with me. And those are pretty big, you know, quality time.
Yeah, mine still is probably back on the time thing again, and intentionality is because if you would ask my daughter Ava what her favorite memory is, it's not Disneyland, Disney World, the big things. I mean, though she loves those, she would go back to when she was 4 years old, maybe, and I took her on a date, and we dressed up, and we went to Panda Express, and we went to a movie, just the two of us. But that is her favorite moment, and so my regret is that I don't do that more. So I would say date your kids more. That's what I say to myself: date your kids more. One-on-one with your kids and do something special just the two of you. It doesn't have to be big, but it's special to them.
I can't think of anything because I wouldn't want the relationship that I have with them any different. And it was a matter of low times and fast times and crazy times and no time, but I wouldn't change a thing and wouldn't want to do anything different, because I'm in this moment right now, right here, and this is where we get to go forward from.
Yeah, that's good, man. So what has being a dad taught you about yourself, something you've learned about yourself, either from your kids or through just being a dad? You got to keep it to one. I'm sure there's... I feel like everything I've learned is from being a dad, but some of it's from being a son, I guess.
I'll go, since I have a mic. And the biggest thing I've learned from being a dad is, I think the most important thing that I've learned, and it's happened here being a child of this house, and just that is knowing that I'm a son. It's been the most important lesson I've learned, and it's come from being a child of this house. And yeah.
I know I've learned a lot, but my most immediate thought is I've really learned what patience is. I consider myself a pretty patient person, but there are times I've learned about myself is that this is, once again, stuff that I'm just growing in, and is that my kids have a perfect way of trying my patience and pushing the buttons that make me snap or whatever. So that reminds me, okay, I still have work to do with being perfected in love. Yeah.
I think what I learned is that I think beyond generations now. And like Stuart was saying, when you look backwards at generations, it's really what defines who you are. But when you look forward through generations, it defines what your family is going to become. And so when you picture or you pull up the things that are going to be important to you in your life, it needs to go beyond your immediate and look for what's going to be happening for the next generations.
Yeah, I'm trying to make sense of this in my head, but I think essentially remembering like to always be like intentional. It's like I might feel like I'm good at being patient or I'm good at not lying or whatever, but it's like she might not know that yet. And so like I it's my job to be able to like to mold Emma in the way that she should go. And that I think about all the times that I woke up and my parents were reading their Bible and all the time they read it to me, and it's like that was the way that I was able to think of the way I should go. And now it's my turn to do that. And that you know, every day there's an opportunity to teach her how to train her up in the way she should go. So
I think the first thing that comes to mind for me is provision. That was the very first feeling that I ever felt when I held Amelie. So, you know, she was just born, and you can't prepare, I think, a first-time parent for what they're going to go through, especially the dad, because it's so different than the mom, I think, in what you feel. But I remember standing there holding her, looking, you know, out the window, and just feeling like this insane sense of responsibility and provision. And it was not a weight. It was the weirdest thing, because you would expect that to kind of weigh you down. But for me, it was like, man, I get to provide for this. And it was different than providing for my wife. Every time we have a new child, it multiplies that desire in me to want to provide. And I don't want to eke through life. I want my kids to be well provided for. And so I think that's one thing that was right off the bat kind of a fun thing to discover.
I think one of the things that for me is I have moments of discovering how, discovering maybe is the wrong word, feeling both brilliant and completely ignorant, maybe is the right word, both. And so there's times when, as a dad, you try something, say something, and you're like, man, that was amazing. That worked great. And there's a response. And then there's times when I'm like, I have no idea what's going on or what to do next, or I'm a total idiot. I don't know what. And so I learned to give myself some grace, but also just that that there were some things I was really good at and some things I wasn't really good at all. And of course, those are both long lists. But yeah, I constantly learning those things. And sometimes you surprise yourself at what you're good at. It's like, how did I even know how to do that? And trying to think back at where did I learn that, or. And sometimes it just feels like it's the Holy Spirit, and sometimes it's our own parents, sometimes it's people in our lives, and then sometimes you think that you would be good at something, or you like this will be an easy thing, and it isn't for whatever reason. So that's kind of been a self discovery journey. But the next question is, what have you guys learned about God? Like, what have you learned about either specifically like the Father's love, the Father, anything about Father God that you've learned from being a dad?
The I was dressing Emma, and she was on her little table where we changed her diaper, and I had walked to the other side of the room, and she stood up, and she was at that point pretty good at balance, but she totally lost it and fell off and hit her head, and it was probably one of the worst feelings I'd ever felt. And I was like, I had this feeling like, oh, I think I would have just rather just broke my arm than experience that. And I don't know, it might sound funny or whatever, but I just was like this very strong sense of like wanting to protect and love that that is, you know, is way different than anyone else. And obviously there's, you know, with your wife and your loved ones, but it was just so like so powerful. And yeah, it was just, and she was fine, and it was no big deal, thankfully. And but it was a pretty crazy experience.
What I've learned most about God is the intensity of His love for us. I'm sure you guys have heard this before, but I mean, having this new child in front of you that has done absolutely nothing, hasn't given you a hug, hasn't said your name, hasn't achieved anything whatsoever, and yet, I didn't. When I looked at Ava for the first time, I was like, I don't know if I could love anything, anyone more. Just because she was, and because she was mine. And the revelation of that from the Father is He loves us with an intense love, and it doesn't matter what we do. We can't shake or break His love. He will tail us for all of our lives and pursue us because it's not dependent on us. It's just because He is love. And, so He pursues us.
Chases us down. It's a pretty fond minute. I think it's what I'm learning about God in relationship with my son and all is, I'll just give you a real quick example of when my son got hired at the mill, and one Saturday morning I was getting up early after getting home late. Getting home at 4:30 in the morning, 4 in the morning. And I mean, I popped up at 9:30 and I just was so excited I needed to go down and get him new boots from Red Wing. You know, I'm going down, didn't even have coffee or breakfast. I was so excited to go get him these boots. And I was thinking, why am I so excited to get up and go spend $300 or whatever dollars for these boots? And God sat in my truck next to me and clearly spoke to me and said, that's how I feel about your future. And I mean, I was just like, wow. So I really think that I'm learning that we're here to reflect God's love to our children, to the people around us, and it's just so inspiring to know, and bigger than I can ever understand, His love for us, and to see us move in His Spirit.
Yeah, I for me, I imagine how much He must feel what we feel. And it's like when my kids are happy, like my own happiness doesn't compare to the happiness I feel when they're happy. That makes sense. Like, I'd actually rather watch my kids be really happy than like experience my own happiness, if that makes sense. And then and nothing is more grieving than watching your kids grieve. And it's like deeper than your own. Like, it's like you like try to think through this process of like, man, if I could take that on just myself and take it away from them, that would be easier than watching them. It's weird. And but I think, how much more does God feel what we feel in the love that He has for us? Like, how much more does He rejoice when we're rejoicing? Like, when He sees. And then how much more does He grieve when we're grieving, when we're troubled, when we're lost, when we're, and, how much more does He feel? And then how much more is He motivated to take us out of those places even than we are, and, or into those places of joy and happiness. And just that, the idea that God is for us, connected to how He connects to our emotion and what we're feeling, what we're going through, just exponential. And especially as my kids get even older, and they feel deeper, and they feel, it's just deeper, you know. It's deeper, and it's, I mean, you guys know what we went through with Ella and her puppy, and so, like, just the feeling is just deeper. And And then joy, like when they're happy, it's like it's deeper and it's stronger. And so as they're becoming adults, realizing that, man, I'll do anything to take pain away or to bring joy. and how much more is and greater is His love for us. And so it just makes me see and experience and connect with God on a whole nother level emotionally. It's pretty cool. So
I kind of feel like being a dad in my relationship with God has made me realize that if my role is to be the provider for my family, someone has to provide for me. And you don't always remember that when times are good. You know, it's easy to go, and you are the man, and you are carrying the world. And then you have a bad day, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, man, I need someone to cover my back. And I've been, you know, I've been self-employed, and so I'll carry the weight of needing to provide for our family through that means. And sometimes it's hard. And I was working in Hayfork a lot, so I would get to commute. And one day I happened to be by myself and having a really hard time just questioning, you know, whether I was doing good enough. Was I providing well enough? And going to Hayfork, just really stressed, and I just felt like God said, Stuart, when's the last time I've not come through? When's the last time I've left you high and dry? When's the last time I did not provide? When's the last time I stood you up? And it was really tough. I mean, because I had to stop and go, never. It's never happened once. And it was really humbling. Because, like I said, you'll get into a groove where you take it on yourself to provide for your family. And then when times get tough and you realize that God was literally right there the entire time, but you just didn't always feel it or acknowledge it or recognize it. And I think for me, it's really humbling to realize that I've never been stood up. I've never once been let down. I've never ran out of money. You know, it's every single time He's been there. And that's what I've learned about who He is in me as a father.
All right, then you haven't learned anything. Maybe someday. So the last one to kind of share, for you guys to share, like what you feel like. When we talked about this, when we asked the moms, it's a very similar thing. I know we're going to get some of a very similar answer, but what is our greatest hope for our kids, you know, as being a dad? What's a hope that you hold on to? And it's kind of with you guys, I know, all that as being followers of Jesus, that we want our kids to be followers of Jesus. Maybe just thinking about a little bit more specific and just kind of hopes that you, maybe that you pray, like things that you pray, things that you speak over them, things that you declare over them, even if you don't necessarily think about it, but those kind of things included, of course, in a relationship with God, but hopes that we have.
Goes back to that they know and reflect the nature and character of God. Generations, the next generations, that would be my hope.
I was listening to a podcast by a guy named Dan Miller. He's kind of a life coach, and someone had called in talking about their child and not knowing how to steer them. And he used the verse, and I can't think of it right now, but basically about how in the Hebrew, your child is bent and in a certain direction. And I think for me, my greatest desire would be to identify that and help my kids pursue their natural, the things that they're bent towards. I mean, we all know what we're naturally drawn towards, but for me, it's really fun and exciting as my kids get a little older and you can see it like kind of like a growing plant. You can see it starting to shoot off, and to encourage that. And with Amelie right now, she's naturally, like, she begs me to sit down and watch a show called The Prophet. And it's a show where a guy comes in and analyzes businesses and helps small businesses that are failing survive. And I love it. I mean, she'll sit right on the couch next to me and we'll pause it and I'll say, okay, so Amelie, the reason that, you know, he's doing that is because he sees that their profit margins are too low and blah, blah, blah. And she's like soaking it up. She loves it. I did not put that into her. And but I see it. I recognize it. And I'm wanting to encourage her in that. So.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, Emma's just over two, but from the very beginning, just she, music and music just seems to drive her so much. Yeah, I mean, most of us enjoy music and it does something for us, but she, I mean, I don't know, she would be just over one or whenever it was, and we would be walking through the store and she would hear something on the over speaker that most of the time you don't even hear, you know, or whatever, and she's like, dancing along to it, and they're like, what? Well, where's the music coming from? And I think it would be really amazing just to see, I think it's, you know, Sue just said bent, I would say dreams, whatever, but that you could be a help and help them identify what that specifically would look like and teach them to work hard and not to give up on their dreams even if the world says you can't do it. And put a drive in them to accomplish what God has given them to do, and realize that it's probably not going to go the way that you think it's going to, or it's not, and just not worry about that, and just embrace the process, and just keep going for it. It would be pretty amazing.
Yeah, that they would realize who they are, who they're called to be, and they would go harder and faster and higher than I ever could. Yeah.
You know, the hope in the kingdom is to wait in joyful expectation. And I practice a lot of declarations over my son in the evenings. I have a really unique situation right now where I get to speak on the top of my lungs all night long over my son as he sleeps, and my granddaughter, and even generational speaking. I speak over my mother and my grandmother, but anyway, for hope for my son, and that his home would have rest from all sides, and that no evil occurrences would happen in his home, and that my granddaughter would only know love. But knowing the Lord and knowing how good He is, and knowing that He rides on my words is brings me joy to know the things that I speak over my son in the nighttime is what will happen, because my God is good and He is powerful. To know Him is power. And so, yeah, declarations are a big part of my life and a big part of every night that I'm awake and speaking. So yeah, I wait with joyful expectation.
Yeah, I think again, it's kind of echo what these guys are saying, that my greatest hope, I think, is that my kids would discover what God created them, what God put them on the planet to do. And that of course comes from knowing who they are in Christ. It starts there, of course, but then there is a doing part. There's like, you know, that they would find a job, a career, a spouse, have a family, that all those things would all be God's design, and they would just discover God's design, because in that, God's will, God's design, is the fullness of joy, is like in that thing. And so, that I would be able to, my hope is that I get to see it, you know, that's one of my huge hopes, that as a dad I get to see it, I get to see that happen, and and get to see my kids happy. And I believe and I know, and as many of you guys agree, that our joy and our happiness rests in His presence. And so, of course, that's a huge part of it. But also the life that we build around us brings us joy too. And when we make a series of poor choices, we know what that looks like too. And when we make so, like, you know, we have hope for our kids' choices. We have hope for their interactions with the world. And, you know, I'm just about to have two high school kids. And, you know, my son's got two more years and daughter's got four. And so they're at that place where they're beginning to plan their future and talking about colleges. It's like, well, what are we doing? I'm beginning to actually see them as, I'm beginning to see that their life as adults and being, you know, just, it's not that far away. And so when they're this tall, you're thinking, like, that's never going to happen. And now all of a sudden, like, what happened between that? I missed it. Where? But, so just tons of hope and excitement about that and getting to see that happen. So I want to end just with this, that we would just pray. You guys, we just kind of go down the line. If you have something specific you want to pray and just impart to fathers, and then I also, as you guys are just kind of as we're praying, you know, praying over your kids. I know we have a lot of kids in here that we pray for that aren't walking with the Lord, and that even fathers, you know, my parents were one of the greatest. Many of you guys have heard my story of getting to lead my grandfather to the Lord a couple days before he passed away. So just a great honor. Also getting, you know, my mom drug me to church. My dad always believed in God, but didn't necessarily, he didn't live anti or against God in any way. It was always the most, one of the most integrous men I've ever met. But wasn't, you know, actively pursuing a relationship with God until we started this thing. We called it the alternative. I shared this story before, but we called it the alternative, and it was an alternative service to people that were in a ranching community, and people just couldn't come to church during the day. So we started an evening service on Monday nights, so he started coming to that, and even just getting to preach to my dad was just amazing during that season. And anyway, so the influence we get to have as both fathers, or even just parents, you know, I know we have single moms in here too that are operating in both roles, and single dads that are operating in both roles. That we're getting to be fathers, and that we're also getting to be children praying for our fathers and grandfathers and that stuff. So as we're just kind of praying over that, just kind of praying blessing and stuff. Again, you don't have to pray, but give the opportunity to just kind of pray blessing over fathers and children. And then we'll close with that. So, Fent, you want to start us off?
Yeah. Jesus. It's got to be Jesus. Lord, I just pray, I declare in the name of Jesus that every home in this small, beautiful little community, every father would realize the importance of being a son, being your son. You are a good, good dad. I just pray for your spirit to blow through this community as a wind, God, that you would blow into every home, that you would touch every heart. Touch it with the most important thing that we are. We are your children. First, we are your children. Before we can be anything else, Lord, let those fathers know. We declare in Jesus' name freedom from every heart. Freedom for every heart in Jesus' name. I release the revelation of being a son. In Jesus' name, I bless every home in this community. We declare freedom in this house. Freedom in every mind, every spirit, and every body. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Father, we recognize that we cannot give away what we don't have. So, Father, I invite your love to fill every heart and mind, the full revelation of your love. We can't earn it, we don't deserve it, but you give it freely. Fill us today with that revelation. Fill us to overflow that so that we can more freely love our kids well. Yeah. Thank you, God.
God, I just thank you for your grace over fathers. I just thank you that you have grace for our imperfections. And Lord, we admit that we are not perfect. There never once has been a perfect dad except you. And I just thank you that you are a good dad. And I just ask that we would be reminded of your goodness, God, and that for the ones that did not have good fathers, Lord, I just ask that there would be grace towards them. And I just thank you for setting the example.
Lord, I just thank you that you fill the gaps and the cracks and the holes in our imperfections as dads, the imperfections of our fathers, the imperfections of our choices. You fill in the places we miss. I thank you for the grace that you have for parenting both mothers and fathers, and we give you our we give you our families. And Father's Day, both Father's Day and Mother's Day, every day is Family Day, but they're just reminders of the importance of family, the family structure, and so we just give you our families that are. Everybody's got fractures in their family. Everybody's got places that need repair, and so we just are reminded this morning on Father's Day to give you our families, to give you our fathers, to give you our grandfathers, to give you our kids, to give you our aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters, and we just give you our family. We push them into your hands, and we just pray. We just say, get them, God. Just get them and love them, and we just pray a returning and a strengthening of relationships, rebuilding of relationships, things that have been broken, offenses that have been had. Lord, we just pray forgiveness in families, and that this would just be a great season of rebuilding things that have been broken, things that have been lost. All this.